Jesus promised us a better place. Amen? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. We are just thankful to God to be here today and to welcome all of you. Again, we're grateful that the Lord has blessed us to be in the service one more time. God's people gathering together to worship and praise His holy name. And got here today and saw Tracy from Texas. Everybody say, how you doing? Amen, amen. And all of our visitors, certainly we welcome you here today. We're here to rejoice and give God the praise and glory. And ladies and gentlemen, we are actually preparing for that great place, for our meeting Jesus Christ. Being with Him in glory means everything. And I'm just so thankful that one day we won't have to cry no more. Amen. No more sorrow, no more sadness. We can rejoice every day of our lives. Amen. Good to be here today. We want to invite your attention as we look to our scripture today from Psalms 30, the 30th Psalm, looking at verses 4 through 8. And we're grateful that the Lord blessed Joanne Sanders. She had a procedure done this past week. And the Lord has blessed her and said, everybody say, hi, Joanne. Hi. All right, God bless you. And others that have gone in the hospital, keep people in prayer. Pray for one another. Because we don't know when it'll be our time to go through something. But God is going to bless us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Psalm 30, verses 4 through 8. Sing to the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endures but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Your favor, You have made my mountain to stand strong. You did hide Your face, and I was troubled. I cried to You, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. We want to talk just a little bit about the night season. The night season. Let us pray. God, we thank You again for Your mercy and love. We thank You for just bringing us through so many things in our lives. And we're just so thankful that we can rejoice and be glad knowing that You're God and knowing that You have brought us this far, not by accident, but by faith. Bless us now as we learn from Your word that You might teach us the eternal truths that we can live by. And Lord, one day we'll be able to celebrate all of the things that You've done as we welcome You in heaven. We thank You, Lord, for all Your goodness in Jesus. Amen and amen. We began a theme in our first Sunday in May where we were talking about the good side of suffering. The good side of suffering. And I know that it's almost like that term, it doesn't match. It's an oxymoron. I guess I know what an oxymoron is. Anyway, it's odd. It's strange for you to even think about or to suggest that there is a good side of suffering. But yet, when you think about it from the perspective that God is in absolute control of everything, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. If you don't look at it from God's perspective, you're going to get caught up in that situation, and it's going to overwhelm you. You're going to find yourself being in a prolonged state of depression, anxiety, and hopelessness because you don't know how to make it through the night. God will show you. He will teach you how that you not only can survive the night season, but come out of it much better, much stronger, bolder in Christ, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to show you what that really means in just a few minutes, but I love the word that we're going to look to today. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, I'm not denying that there won't be nighttime, but nighttime must give way to the dawn. Let's go over a few things that we talked about earlier, the good side of suffering. When you suffer with Christ, number one, God uses suffering to train us, right? You wouldn't put anybody in a situation without some training. You wouldn't have them to serve in the military without some training. You wouldn't have these sports events. You look at people and you see them out there and say, oh my, they can do some wonderful things. They had to have training. We as Christians, as much as we may not invite it and may not even like it, training is essential to your growth. You must be trained. Secondly, if you're going through trials, every trial is temporary. Say that with me, every trial is temporary. We're going to bring that out today, and we may even bring out the fact that God provides his strength and power in every trial. And then lastly, when believers endure suffering, you glorify God. That's where we're going today. Amen? I'm going to bring those things out. Again, we're just grateful that the Lord has allowed us to be able to share in the suffering with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Weeping may endure for a night. Have you ever thought about what inspired David to write that? Have you thought about what was he going through that he wanted to pin that, not only pin it, but sing it? These are songs. These are not just something that is written in the Word, but they actually would sing about these experiences that they had. Before you leave here today, I want to give you a song in the night season. So that you will know that even when things are out of your control, they're still under God's control. Say that with me. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Now, let me just challenge you theologically. I want to challenge some of your beliefs. I want to challenge some of your beliefs. Before we get into this, I want to challenge what you believe and what I believed until I got into God's Word and started looking at what God had to say. Challenge number one, does God heal everyone instantly? You already answered no, right? But some people believe that I shouldn't have to suffer at all. As a matter of fact, as soon as I pray, things ought to change. And as soon as you pray, things do change. God does work a miracle instantly. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside. Let me explain to you. When Jesus was here ministering on the earth for 3 years, he did not heal everyone in Israel. Somebody's shocked. Boy, I hear silence. Jesus did not heal every person in Israel, much less the entire world. Why didn't he do that? That wasn't his mission. Matthew 1:21 tells us what his mission is. He shall save his people from their sin. Now, did he heal many people? Of course he did. And it all pointed to the fact that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. But he did not heal every person of every sickness in Israel because that was not his mission. Could he have done it? Absolutely. Now, this brings to mind what you and I go through in life. Well, why doesn't God answer me right now? Why doesn't God heal me instantly? instantly. Why doesn't God change this situation? Why doesn't God come in and just stop this, whatever's going on in my life, and make things perfectly? We've already answered some of your questions. Number one, you wouldn't grow, you wouldn't be trained. Second thing we do when we're facing these situations, we want to blame God. God, why you let this happen to me? Well, there are three reasons why you can have a problem or a misfortune in your life. One, other folks cause it. Don't blame God for what other folk did. Are y'all in the building? And the second thing is you have an adversary, you have an opponent. A spiritual opponent, his name is Satan, his name is the devil. He not only wants to cause you hardship, he wants to destroy you. He's going to be fighting against you. You've got people and forces fighting against you. So don't blame God for what other people or the devil is doing. But then third reason, don't blame God for what you got your own self into. My grandma said, you fought your own self into that. And so we suffer. And it's okay if God does not instantly relieve us of the suffering. That's what the psalmist is trying to tell you in this verse. Go ahead and weep in the night. Go ahead and cry if it hurts. Go ahead and face whatever it is that you need to face in the night. But just remember, joy is coming in the morning. That night season will prepare you for the coming of joy. Dorothy Norwood sung a song many years ago, there's got to be some rain in your life. How many of y'all remember that? To appreciate the sunshine. Some people don't appreciate the sunshine. Some young people don't appreciate everything that their parents do for them. And so they get back and they have a sense of entitlement. Well, that's a big word. They feel like you're supposed to because you're my parent. Well, they're your parent, but they don't have to. Look at some kids that may be in the audience that may not be in youth church right now and tell them, I don't have to do anything. But the point is, God allows these people to turn against us. God allows the devil to come in and test us in much the same way that he does Job. God allows our failures to cause us pain because it helps us and it teaches us, I ain't doing that no more. And if you're hanging around folks and they've hurt you, it teaches you a lesson. You got to love them at a distance. So we've got to deal with some of the stuff that we think that God's supposed to instantly touch us and heal us. But what God will instantly do, because he's a loving God, he can never stop loving you. Even in your darkest night, God will never stop loving you and watching over you. And let me tell you something. When you are hurting, God is hurt, because you're a child of God. He has a plan, which I'm going to get to in just a second. And this is the one that we want to look at also. Is suffering a part of God's plan? How do we go through the suffering and make sense of it? I'm telling you, there are tragedies that you and I would spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out why this is happening. Your calling in life is not to figure out why it happened, but how can I get through this? How can I get stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might? I'm going to go to Romans 8, and then I'm going to go back to Hebrews in just a little bit. Romans 8 tells us that this present suffering, you know, what we're going through right now, it's not going to last forever. It's not going to be in our life permanently. You got to make sure that what you're doing is learning about the Lord, and that Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Do y'all know? We know what? We know that all things. Everybody say all things. All things. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That marriage failure happened because somehow or another situation didn't work out, but don't beat yourself up for the rest of your life. That loved one left you, but don't say to yourself, I wish they were here, back here, because if they're with Jesus, I'm telling you, they don't necessarily want to come back here. Suffering is a part of God's plan. And sometimes when we're going, we can tell ourselves that from a theological standpoint, but when we're going through the suffering, God, this don't feel good. How in the world is this going to work out for your glory? I don't know how, but I'm going to tell you something. God can make a way out of no way. God can bring good out of bad. I don't know how in the world he does it, but he does do it. What you got to do is hold on. Look at somebody, tell them, hold on in the night season. I'm getting ready to preach now. Hebrews 5 in verses 8 and 9, God's only son walked this earth just like you and I. And you would think that if he's the son of God, the perfect Messiah, everything ought to be glorious for him. Flowers ought to be blooming as he walks by. All of these things, the clouds in the sky just waving for his glory. Let me tell you, it didn't happen that way. Matter of fact, Jesus in a boat going with his disciples across the sea, next thing you know, they're in a storm. And it's threatening to destroy them. But then Jesus, the man, got up and spoke as Jesus, the Son of God, and said, peace, be still. Are y'all listening in the building? Gee, listen, Hebrews will tell you he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And having to suffer, that made him your high priest. That made him your loving God through his suffering. Now when you go through suffering and you say, Lord, do you know what I'm going through? Jesus said, yep. I know exactly what you're going through because he suffered. It's a part of God's plan. It was woven into the fabric of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 is all about the suffering of Christ, the suffering of Jesus. And you mean to tell me that you fitting to go to heaven, you getting ready to go to heaven and getting prepared to meet the Lord, and when you get up there, you're not going to have some wounds? You mean to tell me you have the audacity to think that you're going to glory and having to fight all the stuff that's in this world, and you're never going to have any bandages on your sores, or you're never going to have any wounds that you've encountered in life? Yes, you will. It's tough living in this world, period. And the moment you say you're living for God, all of the forces of this world are now standing against you. But we're going to make it. Look at somebody, tell them, we're going to make it. So you weep in the night. You cry in the night because that's what you're supposed to do. Used to be when I was growing up, boys didn't cry, especially not around big brothers or uncles or anybody. You get stung by a bee, you better suck it up, boy. Man, I just got stung by a hornet. You kidding me? So you know what I did? I ran to mama. I ain't messing with y'all. I'm going to mama. Oh, come here, baby. That make me feel better already. God's plan is for you to go through the suffering, to get the training, but also to learn that suffering is a part of this life. How would you know that you wanting to go to heaven if everything was perfect down here? Paradise. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. Don't call me right now. I got it made. You know, I got everything good. No. It's all about struggles in this world, because the prince of this world guarantees that you're going to go through some trials. He thinks he owns the world, which really he doesn't. He has control of it, and the control that he got, he stole it. Are y'all with me? But thank God, we're going to get it back when Jesus comes and reigns on the earth. We're going to get all of it back. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about how that God brought the children of Israel out of bondage. But, you know, they had suffered for 430 years as slaves, and they didn't get paid. But before they left Egypt, they got paid. The Egyptians gave them gold, silver, jewelry, everything else. They came out with some bling. I mean, they said, you know what? Y'all didn't pay us then, but you paid us now. God is going to reward us if we simply stick to the plan. Now, this is a warning. In the last days, men will become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They don't want to hear this message of suffering with Christ. They don't want to hear this message of you got to go through some trials. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear everything good. Everything will work out. And if they don't hear that, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I've been in this thing long enough to know. I haven't been in it long as some others, but I've been in it long enough to know that as you suffer with Christ, you're going to also reign with Him. You're going to also reign with Him. Amen? I'm getting ready to close my message, but one other challenge that we have is to find out how in the world will my suffering glorify God? How am I going to glorify God in this mess that I'm dealing with right now? How is God pleased with what I'm going through? When He saw the tears of His own Son, it said it pleased God. Why? Because Jesus was becoming that Prince of Peace, that Lord of Glory who knew everything that you and I would go through. How am I going to glorify God through this mess that I'm going through right now? That's a good question. And you're supposed to have questions, because if you didn't have questions, you would learn. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, because of the abundance of revelation, because of what was God doing in my life, I received this thorn in my flesh. I know some of y'all said, I got the thorn sitting beside me. Now, don't even go there. And we don't know what Paul's thorn was. We can sit here and guess all we want to, but he didn't tell us what it was, but he told us he had it. Every one of you are going to have a painful experience in life that's going to last a long time. Let me say that again. Every one of you are going to have some pains in life that's going to last a long time, but not forever. Not forever. It's got an expiration date. So Paul says, I had this thorn in my flesh, and I prayed to God, take it away, Lord. And you know what God told him? No. Wait a minute. Okay, let me rewind the tape. He had a thorn in the flesh, described it as a messenger of Satan that was afflicting him, prayed to God that the Lord would take it away, and God said, no. Well, God didn't actually say no. God said something else. He said, my grace is enough. Lord have mercy. I wish I could preach this thing the way I feel. When you get to the place where all you have is the grace of God, you are going to discover that God's grace is really all you need. You don't need nobody patting you on the shoulder. You don't need nobody encouraging you, because you have reached the place, I got God's grace. Look at somebody, tell them, I have God's grace. Yeah, we used to sing it in the church. Grace, grace, God's grace. His grace is sufficient for me. Y'all remember that? When you have God's grace, ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need. And let me just break this down to you another way. That is the purpose why You went through the trial so that you would discover God's grace. All right, now watch us. We get a problem. What we want to do is we want to get our little toolbox. All right, let me get my little wrench out here. Maybe what I need to do is to get things tightened up here. Let me tighten it up. You've tightened it so much that you've wrung it off. So then you reach in your toolbox and you get the hammer. You ever seen people mad at everybody? They're just mad at everybody. And you got to watch it because something happened on the inside. They have reached the place of frustration, but they have not reached the place of grace. When you reach the place of grace, you can say to yourself, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what folks say about me. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm in. It doesn't matter if I'm broke. I know that God's grace. You've got to go through the night season in order to get to the place of grace. As a matter of fact, I ain't worried about the thorn no more. All I'm thinking about is how good God is, how far He's brought me, how He kept me, how He blessed me, how He walked with me, how He talked with me. All I'm concerned about is I got Jesus, and that's enough. Let me hurry up and close here. So you've got to reach those theological arguments. You've got to ask yourself when you're going through it, is God going to take me out of this instantly? If not, I'm okay. Is He going to change this instantly? If not, that's all right. You've got to reach that theological point where you're saying to yourself, it's a part of God's plan. This is God's plan for me. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it, but I got it. And since I got it, I'm going to make the best of it because I'm going to trust God. Can y'all do that? He didn't ask you to fix it. He didn't ask you to change it. And He certainly didn't ask you to cop out. Don't jump boat right now because the water is rocky. Look at somebody telling them, stay in the boat. Because if you think the water is rocky in the boat, just try getting out there. And then the other thing that we have to consider is the fact that all suffering is going to lead to God's glory. He will be glorified. So here's what the psalmist did. I'm just going to get ready to close with this. Here's what the psalmist said that you ought to do when you're going through that night season. How am I going to get through this night season? Realize that it's only temporary. It says so right in the verse. Weeping may endure. He didn't even think of the certainty of suffering. He said it might last for a little while. It might last for a couple of days. It might last for a couple of years, but that's all right. I can hang out. I got eternity. I've got God on my side. Everything going to be all right. This sickness might last a little bit longer than what I thought. God might not, amen, allow me to be healed physically, but guess what? I got healing on the inside. Are y'all in the building today? Weeping may endure for a night. But I'm not looking at the weeping in the night. I may have to cry, but I'm not looking at the tears I'm crying, getting folk to feel sorry for me. I'm looking for joy. I wish I had somebody to talk to me. Joy is coming in the morning. Even in the Psalms, you have the sense of resurrection. Because he's making two assumptions. One, he's making an assumption that the night is not going to be there, but he's going to be there. Do you see it? He's talking about the joy that's going to come into his life, and he's going to experience it, which means by the time morning come in, problem, you ain't going to be here. Or if you're here, you ain't going to matter. Suffering is temporary. Second thing we learn from this is, how do you get through it? Look at somebody and say, how do you get through it? Don't you love coming to church and people going to tell you, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. And you leave church and you're wondering, yeah, I heard what you said, it's going to be all right, but it ain't all right now. How do you get through it? He tells you right here in the verse. Verse 4 says, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. He didn't say you had to make a tune. He didn't say you had to choir, had to try out for the choir or a quartet or whatever. He said, sing. This makes the assumption that God put a song in your heart for that night season. Are y'all listening to me? Whatever you're going through, don't let it steal the song out of your heart. Never stop singing. Never stop rejoicing. Never stop worshiping. You sing because you're happy. You sing because you're free. You sing because you're not bound by problem. Despite the problem, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. If the devil can steal your song, he can steal your joy. But the proof that he has not stolen your joy is that you still got a song. Look at somebody telling him, I still got a song. Kendall Marshall loves to rap and he puts it in rhyme, but he's talking about the experiences that he's gone through in life. That's his song. You say to yourself, well, I just may seem like I'm repeating myself. That's your song. Especially when you're reminding yourself, the Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me now. That's your song. Keep singing your song in the night season. Then secondly, give thanks. Give thanks. Why, preacher? Give thanks for the remembrance of his holiness. And what in the world does that mean? That means that despite the messiness of your problem, God is still a God of holiness. He is a righteous God. He is the kind of God that does not change his nature. He's the kind of God who is set apart and all by himself. He is not like anything else that you have ever experienced in life. That's who God is. Let me run down your street. That's who God is to you. A holy God, a righteous God, a perfect God. And if he's a perfect God, he never, ever, ever, ever makes a mistake. When you're saying, Lord, you're holy, you're saying, God, you never get anything wrong. Well, he got me going through this. There's a reason for it. Thank you, Lord, for what he just gave me. You don't ever go through a problem where God doesn't give you a reward. Let me say that again. Y'all didn't hear. Let me talk to the folks over here. Y'all didn't hear that. You never go through anything without God giving you a reward. Can I get an amen over there? All right. Yeah. Now, did y'all get it? You never go through anything that God doesn't give you a reward. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Instead of looking at your mess, look at your mighty God. Watch him move in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Watch God work out that problem. As bad as it might seem, watch how he turns it around to the glory of God, to the honor of his own kingdom. You know, Jamari Skates gets up and sings Happy Birthday every second Sunday. And the reason why he does that, Jamari's got a testimony in that song. Young man, didn't ask for it. The mother didn't ask for it and had cancer. But guess what? God is stronger. God is mightier than what you're facing. To God be the glory. To his name be the honor. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And by the way, complaining does not count as giving thanks. Stick it out your lip, Lord, well, you got me. No, that's not a prayer. That's not a praise. Amen? That's just you murmuring, and it's going to mess you up because what happened with the children of Israel, what should have taken them a couple of weeks, a couple of months, took them 40 years. Why? Because they're running their mouth. If you can't praise him, then quit mumbling. If you can't praise him, then you better shut up and just hold on because God's going to take you where you need to be. I'm getting ready to close right here. Why and how do we get through the night season? We get through the night season because we've got a song in our heart. Got a song in our heart. But we get through the night season because we give God thanks at the remembrance of His glory. But then lastly, you got one tool that you need to constantly use, the tool of prayer. The psalmist said to himself, I cried to the Lord. Now, I like the way he puts this because he doesn't say, I prayed. I made my request. He said, I cried. I remember one time in reading the scripture where David and his men returned from a battle, or they were allegedly supposed to go with the Philistines in battle against their own kingdom. But the Philistines thought that it wasn't good for them to go out there because that way they could get back in good favor with Saul by going into battle. So they no, we don't want you to go. But when they got back home, their town of Ziklag had been raided. The enemy had come in and destroyed the community and taken all of the children and the women captive. The Bible said that the men sat down and they wept. David also wept. But then after they finished weeping, they wanted to stone David because they said, it's your fault. So here's David, feeling condemned by everybody, feeling that now he's got problems he can't handle. What does he do? He cries to the Lord. And the Bible said he encouraged himself. When nobody else is talking right, when everybody says, no, child, that car's on his last leg and you trying to get to work. No, that doesn't look like you. Yeah, your money acting funny. Don't look like it's going to turn around anytime soon. And quit talking to negative folk. Get around some encouragers. And if they can't encourage you, you encourage yourself in the Lord. He said, I cried to the Lord. Many nights, you've cried to the Lord. And you wonder, Lord, did you hear me? See, men don't like crying public unless they just can't help it. They like to be bold. They like to be strong. I'm a man. But the right trial hits you, you're going to cry. It's going to yank a tear out of you. It's all right to cry. It's okay to cry. David said, you can cry. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Right now, you might be going through that season. And you might be saying to yourself, it doesn't look like I'm going to ever get out of this, Pastor. Well, I can tell you right from the scripture that that's false. You're going to get through it. God's going to deliver you. Maybe not right now. Maybe not on your time schedule. You might even leave this world having that condition. But somewhere between there and glory, God's going to restore your joy. We look at this world as if it's the only thing that we have. No, 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 no. You got more waiting on you in eternity than you have right now. I'm going to show y'all something real quick. How many of y'all are familiar with investments? Okay. Rod, he worked with that. He knows about investment. You got to take what you have and put it with somebody that you can't even see. It might say that they're triple A rated. All right, whatever it is, Rob. Okay. Which means they're strong. They're strong. They can take your investment. But watch this. You don't even see your investment. You get a little statement in the mail that tells you, we got it. And you believe them. Every time you struggle for Christ, every time you say a prayer and you're trying to do the right thing when wrong things show up, you're making an investment. You're giving something of yourself to God and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands. I don't know how to handle it. And guess what God does with your investment? not only does he match it, God says, I'm going to give what you gave back to you, plus I'm going to give you all things that I have in my kingdom. You can't fail with that, amen? You don't have anybody that tells you, we're going to give you 100% return plus 100% profit. God said, I'm going to give it all to you because I love you just that much. Look at somebody, tell them for the last time, hold on. Look at somebody else, tell them, hold on. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy. Joy. God's joy. God's joy. Father, we thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for your mighty power. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that there is a good side of suffering that we need to look at. Not just the problem, but we need to look to you, the problem solver. And Lord, I've done my best to try to explain what's in this passage, but there's much, much more in it. And Lord, I pray that your people would read it and remind themselves of your glory and of your power. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for every blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. In his mighty name we pray, amen and amen. He brought me through this. Put your hands together. He brought me through that. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. Anybody glad about it? Oh, he brought me through this. He brought me through that. Hey, Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. Let me say this right here. He made a way. Didn't God do it? Out of no way. Oh, yes, he did. And Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. Did the Lord do this for you? He opened doors that got closed in my face. I know he did. And Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. Oh, he brought me through. He brought me through this. Remind yourself. He brought me through that. Oh, yeah. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. Oh, he brought me through. He brought me through this. Thank you, Jesus. He brought me through that. Oh, yeah. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. I need y'all to repeat after me. Say it. I'm so grateful. There's one. Perhaps you're going through a storm, and I've tried to help you as best I can, but you got to trust God. You simply got to trust him. If you're here today, you've never surrendered to Christ. Today would be a good day to say, Lord, have your way. Rule in my life, reign in my heart, that I might serve you. If you're online, it's impossible for you to be in here, but you can, right there online, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. and know that He's with you, and know that He's blessed you. Write to us, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'd be happy to commune with you, share God's word with you. Is there one? Is there one? God bless you. Y'all learned something today? The night season. God bless you. You may be seated.